It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
All right, welcome to another episode of Can You Survive This Podcast. Today's guest is the amazing host of the Death by Southwest podcast, Margot Carmichael. Welcome to Can You Survive This Podcast.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on. How you been?
Okay. It's been up and down. But yeah. Okay, good. How have you been? Are you going to tell everyone like how we know each other or no? Is that off limits?
Nothing's off limits here. Okay. Margot and I, we used to work together producing many, many podcasts.
That's right.
And now we're like doing our own podcasts.
I know. It's crazy. It's cool though.
That's the short version.
That's a very short version. But that's, yeah, that sums it up. And I'm going to have you come on. We've never had a guest on Death by Southwest. So maybe you'll be, since you're a experienced podcaster now, maybe you'll come on and be our first guest.
What are you guys talking about right now on Death by?
We just finished a 3-part Halloween murder. And I actually did it with Mark because my sister was out of town, something like that. So, and then for the next 2 weeks, I'm out of town. So we just have a bunch of like bonus episodes that we've recorded, which only people who really like us and like the show listen to, like people who are looking for like real true crime are not into them because we're just like blathering on about whatever, basically on the bonus episodes, but we enjoy them.
So usually you are hosting with your sister, right?
Yeah, my sister is my co-host and I'm telling, like I find a murder story, I research it, I write it, and then I tell her the story. So she's essentially the audience, the listener as well.
Got you.
Yeah.
And are they mostly like Arizona-based murders?
Anywhere Southwest. So we do Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Southern California.
What was the 3-way murder that you guys just covered? Tell me about that.
Okay, so that one actually wasn't in the Southwest. That one was in Napa, but it's hard to find like a really good murder on Halloween that happened like on Halloween. And so this one happened on Halloween in Napa in 2004. Three girls lived together in a house in Napa and two of them were murdered on Halloween night. And I don't know if I should give, well, I guess the whole episode's out, so there's no spoilers.
Was it a trick or treater? Did someone trick or treat and then like blast through the door?
That would have been great. No, it wasn't. It was one of the girls who were murdered. It was her best friend's boyfriend. And the third roommate actually survived. She was on the ground floor. The other two roommates were upstairs and the two upstairs roommates were murdered. And the downstairs roommate like heard something. And she was like, started to go up to check on them. And then she was like, no, fuck this. And booked it out the door. And so she survived.
Okay, and the so other two were stabbed. She did not engage the murderer.
She did not.
She heard the commotion and she got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, she did.
And yep. The guy, he stabbed them to death, like in their sleep.
Yes. He never gave a motive, but the theory was that him and his girlfriend were having trouble and he thought it was because of one of the women he murdered, like that she was talking into his girlfriend's ear, like you can do better, break up with him. And she did break up with him for a period. And so he blamed it on this woman, Adrian, who lived in the house. And so he broke in Halloween night and accidentally went in the other roommate's room first. And then was like, shit. And so he murdered her and then went into the person who he was trying to kill's room and murdered her, stabbed them both to death. Yeah.
I would say that's probably not a way to get your girlfriend back.
No, it's not. But he wasn't caught for a year. So the most like crazy part of the story is that after, you know, the bodies were just, this murder came out, big news in Napa, nobody knew it was him. So it brought him and his girlfriend back together because they were like mourning. She was mourning her best friend's death and he was there for her. And then they got married. Then they ended up getting married.
It was like a hardcore, like trauma bond.
Right. Trauma bonding. Exactly. Like one of the girls who was murdered, Adrian, her whole family was at their wedding. He went to like the vigil that was held for the women who were murdered. I mean, it's messed up.
Disclaimer. Even if you do get the girl back, you will eventually be caught.
Right.
And so is he in prison now?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, he was, they caught him because he was smoking Camel Turkish Gold cigarettes outside of the house before he broke in. He was like talking himself up, I guess, to working his way into breaking in. And he left 3 cigarette butts out there and they found those cigarette butts and matched the DNA to his DNA eventually. And I guess it was a very specific brand of cigarettes back then. Like nobody really smoked Camel Turkish Golds. I don't know. So it was a good story. I mean, I hate to say good because it's a murder, but it was a good story.
They always get you with the cigarette butts.
I know. Don't smoke outside of a house you're going to break into.
Don't leave your DNA behind.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So how many episodes have you guys put out on Death by Southwest?
I think that we just put out episode 46.
Have you covered 46 different murder stories?
Some of them are probably not, because some of them are two parts. I think we only had one other three part. The Toy Box Killer was a 3-part one that we did. And then we also do a bonus episode every week because we like to just talk a lot.
Yeah.
And people don't like hearing that within the actual murder episode. Mm-hmm. So we put out a bonus where we kind of like go over stuff that we need to correct or things that maybe we wanted to look deeper into that we didn't get to in the episode. And we just kind of have cocktails and chit chat on those bonuses.
So. Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah.
What was the Toy Box murder?
That is, me and Brandon used to talk about this because Carolyn, you know, Carolyn of Murder Chronicles, I talked to her before I started Death by Southwest to get, you know, she's an experienced podcaster and true crime kind of aficionado. So I got advice from her and she told me about this story about the Toy Box Killer who lived in New Mexico and over, I want to say 45 years, he murdered like 40 to 60 women in an RV home that he had in the middle of nowhere. And he soundproofed it. He made it like a torture chamber basically. And so he would kidnap women, get women to come home with him from the bar and then hold them for days and torture them and killed most of them. A couple of them got away, but no one believed them because he would pump them full of like drugs that would make them kind of only remember spotty things. It is super. So me and Brandon wanted to do that as a whole podcast series, like a limited series. But it, because even 3 parts on Death by Southwest, like barely scratches, it's a fucked up story.
What year did this occur? Or what years?
I mean, I think he started murdering all the way back, like I want to say in the 70s and 80s up into the early 2000s. Don't quote me on that because I can't totally remember, but he was caught, I want to say early 2000s.
I feel like the 70s and 80s was a big time. It was a big serial killer time.
No kidding. Like Marilyn Manson, Charles Manson. Wasn't there like the Strangler in Hollywood, something like that?
Yeah. And what about, I'm thinking like, do you know about BTK?
BTK, I do. That, what was his name? Dennis something?
I think it was Dennis. I think it means bound, tied, and killed.
Yep.
And didn't he used to take really fucked up photographs of himself?
Yep. That's totally right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Good serial killer knowledge.
Yeah, just a little bit. Wow. So, and did they catch the toy box killer?
They did, and then he died in prison.
Okay. Why
pretty
was he
soon
called,
after.
Why was he called the toy box killer?
Because it looked like he called his like lair, his like where this, you know, it looked like a shipping container, but maybe it was like an RV essentially. And he called it his toy box, basically.
How was he getting these people? Was he very like handsome and charming? How was he getting people back from the bar?
He had a girlfriend who was just as fucked up as he was and who participated in like the torture and stuff. And sometimes she would kind of befriend a girl at the bar. There was definitely a lot of sex workers that he would bring because he would pretend like he was interested in paying them. And then that didn't happen. And then even his daughter, eventually he got her involved and she would like meet a girl at the bar and be like, come back to my house for drinks. And
oh my.
Yeah, just goes to show you can't really trust anybody. Don't go home with anyone.
Yeah. Do we know how people escaped? What, like,
yes.
Fleeing, fighting?
Well, he kept them chained up to like an obstetrician, like a gynecologist type table. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was, yeah, really, really vile. One woman he kept for days and like tortured. And for whatever reason, he let her go. He slit her throat and then dumped her on the side of the road, but she survived. And then the woman who I believe kind of brought it all down, he left and his girlfriend was there and she managed to get her hands on some type of weapon and stabbed the girlfriend and got free and ran completely naked, had been tortured for days, managed to run to a neighbor's house and get help and get the police out there.
Got it.
Yeah.
So
pretty bad.
Finding a stabbing weapon or any weapon of any kind is,
yes.
Is the move.
Yes. Yeah. If you're trying to escape from a serial killer's lair, I suppose.
Yeah. You got to fight.
Yeah. I mean, also try not to get in that situation in the first place. Hopefully.
Yeah. You got
to
be mindful of who you leave with. And yeah. I guess these days there's cell phones and stuff. So you could like drop a pin to your friend. Hey, this is where I'm going. You know, if you don't hear from me, my location services is on.
That's true. I think back to like early 2000s when I was going to college and stuff. And it's amazing I didn't get murdered. I don't know how I didn't get, I mean, like I would have, like me and my friend, like we would meet people, go to their house, go here. I would walk home half the time from the bars at late at night. I mean, it was just so irresponsible.
Where did you go to college?
Northern Arizona University in Flagstaff. So about 4 hours north of Tucson, which is where I am now.
Gotcha. And Tucson is, you got to be a little careful out there, right?
Tucson has its good and bad parts, definitely, for sure. We're close to, I mean, this sounds terrible to say, but we're close to the border and there's a lot of crime along the border. So we're about 60 miles from the border of the U.S.-Mexico border.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so you also said that you hosted an episode with Mark.
Multiple episodes with Mark, yes.
Mark is your boyfriend, partner, whatever the appropriate term is these days.
Sure. Yeah.
And I understand that Mark has had some survival stories of his own.
Oh my God. Yes.
Is it
honestly
true?
You should have him. He should be sitting here. He'd be better at this.
We'll definitely get him on. Is it true that Mark shot himself by accident once?
It is true that his best friend shot himself right in front of him in the leg, like with a shotgun. No, with a revolver. But the revolver was in like one of those, you know, like the old timey leather things where you put it like this. And he hit it with a shotgun. He was holding a shotgun in his hand and the shotgun hit the revolver, setting it off. It was really old and it shot him straight through his thigh. And Mark was right there and they were in the middle of the desert, like very far from anybody. And so Mark like had to tie off his leg and put pressure and until the helicopter arrived.
And his friend survived.
Yes. Yes.
And so did they use a cell phone to call for help and the helicopter came and medevaced him away?
Yes, they did. Wait, let me see that. He said a revolver 357, and it was like a hollow point that shot Fred in the leg. And so they, while Mark was like tourniqueting his leg, my brother-in-law, I believe, called for help and they got a helicopter. And my brother-in-law's brother is a first responder, like a firefighter, paramedic. And he heard the call. He was working that night and heard the call come in. And he was like, I think that's where my brother goes. That must be them. Cause they go out there to shoot guns and just camp out and whatnot. So, so the helicopter came and took him away. And
Fred
survived.
He survived. Did he get to keep the leg?
He kept the leg. And they always joke that he would have if it had been Mark or my brother-in-law, it would have blown their leg clean off because they're like smaller. They have like skinny legs. Fred is a big dude. He's like got to be over 6 feet tall. He's big. He's got like big thighs. So that probably saved his life.
Okay. So to the audience, you know, work out,
work your quads,
get your thick thighs in case you take a bullet there. It might help.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Yep.
Are there any other crazy, what else has Mark done that's crazy?
He survived. So he didn't, obviously that was Fred and not him, but he has been bitten by a rattlesnake and survived that, which is, it's pretty survivable, but the worst one was a rock climbing accident where he fell straight down the side of a like rock cliff. How many feet?
It's like six stories
flat on his back. And and his cousin was there. So his cousin had to run down the rest of the mountain because they didn't get like service up there. Had to run down. I think this was actually before cell phones. He'll have to tell this story if he comes on here because he'll tell it better. But he had a chest tube, like broke a billion bones in his body. He died multiple times and was revived. Yeah, he has died. He always says that. I've died three times. So I believe he died during that rock climbing accident. And then he had a horrible motorcycle accident as well, where I believe he died. And then they brought him back.
Yeah. And he's today alive and completely able-bodied.
Totally, completely able-bodied. Yes. Shocking.
So what did he do? I definitely want to get him on because I want to know what his experience of dying three times was like.
Yeah, definitely. He will talk about it openly for sure. He would love to come on.
I'm very curious. How did he survive the rattlesnake bite?
God, he's told me this. So the sucking the venom out is not true. That's like a myth, I believe. You're supposed to, and this is what I believe he did. You tourniquet off above the bite to try and keep the poison from getting through your whole body. Mm-hmm. And I think he just got to medical help in time. It's not a very exciting story.
was he alone?
I think he was alone. I'm not sure.
Did he basically have to tourniquet off the wound and then hobble his way back to society?
I believe so. Wow. Yes. Yeah. He's got like 9 lives, but no more motorcycles, rock climbing, nothing. We are going to Belize in 2 days. And the most exciting thing that I'm excited about is to swim with sharks. They have a place where you can swim with sharks there. It's just, there's known to be a ton of sharks, not like the cage diving, just like shallow water, a lot of nurse sharks and stingrays supposedly. And he keeps joking that like, if anybody's going to get bit, it's going to be him.
When you guys get back, I definitely want to have him on and, tell us how it went with the sharks and the stingrays. And we got to find out how he survived his motorcycle accident and his rock climbing fall.
The motorcycle accident's a good story because, and I won't ruin it because he'll come on and tell it, but he like saw the accident. He like saw it happening before it happened and did something to keep himself from like being his legs being cut off or what. Like he maneuvered in a certain way. So it was almost, it was like a good survival story. I feel like that'll be a good one. So I'll let him tell it.
That reminds me of one time many, many years ago, I was driving. What is it? I think it's the night before Thanksgiving is considered like the drunkest night of the year.
Totally is. Yep.
So I was actually, believe it or not, I was sober. Mm-hmm. But I remember I was going through an intersection and a car just came blasting through. And it was like having Matrix vision, like everything slowed down. And I was like, I cannot get in an accident right now. And I like swerved my car to the side. And the guy was like a few inches from just blasting my car.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, and then so I go to my buddy's house, which was like one block away from where this happened. And I get there and I'm like, oh my God, man, like this car almost hit me. And I saw it coming and I just like swerved the car as hard as I could to get out of the way. And he's like, wait a second. I just saw someone almost get in an accident. Was that you? I'm like, that was me.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's very important to stay alert.
It is.
Especially on the drunkest night of the year.
Yeah, that is like the biggest, the drunkest night of the year, the best night to go out to the bars because everybody's like home, you know, hanging out with their family. But when he describes his motorcycle accident, he says it similarly to that, like everything kind of like slowed down. He like saw it happening, was like, no, I have to do this or this to like avoid it being worse. So that's interesting how that happens.
Is Mark like a crotch rocket guy or like a Harley guy?
I think he had at the time, it was probably more of a crotch rocket. He was like 20 years old. So it was a long time ago.
Does he still ride?
He does not have a motorcycle. My dad actually has motorcycles. That's something new that he's picked up in his 70s. And whenever we go over to his house, he's always trading them in and like getting a different one. Like, oh, I had this one for 6 months and gets a different one. I don't understand it. But whenever we go over there, he's like, Mark, here, take the motorcycle out. And so Mark will go ride it around. But that's the most that he rides motorcycles now.
Does your dad have like a big like cruiser style bike with like the speakers on it and like the CD player?
No way. He has a Ducati, I believe. So it's not a crotch rocket, but it's not like a sit like this type of bike.
Right.
It's like a, I would say it's a crotch rocket, but it's not. That's if I saw it, that's what I would assume it is, but it's not. It's a motorcycle. He has a Ducati. He had a, I really don't know actually, but he's had a bunch and it's just something that he got into. I don't even know how in recent years. I guess he had a motorcycle before I was born and was in a horrible motorcycle accident and in a full body cast for a long time, right before my mom was pregnant with me. So after that, my mom was like, no more motorcycles. But then when my mom passed away, he was like, I'm getting a motorcycle. So now he does. Now he keeps riding motorcycles. So
actually, similar story with my dad. My dad used to ride and he got in a gnarly accident. Luckily, he was not in a full body cast, but he has like a big ass scar on his leg from it. And then when the kids came along, that was it for the motorcycles. The fun had to end, you know.
Good for your mom. That's important. Safety first. Where do your parents live?
They live in Baltimore.
Oh, wow. You're so far.
Super safe, you know, super safe.
Yeah, right. That's right. I actually didn't know much about Baltimore. That's where that Serial podcast took place, I believe. The first season of that, right?
Yep.
I feel like that's where it took place because I remember thinking, wow, Baltimore sounds really unsafe.
Yeah, that Serial was like one of the OG true crimers, huh?
Sure was. That was great. I loved that podcast.
Yeah.
What podcast do you listen to right now?
Do you
listen to podcasts?
Yeah, I like, you know, like the basic stuff that you could guess. Like I really like Huberman.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I watch him on TikTok and I like him a lot.
I like him a lot. I think he's really informative. And you know, I think he did MDMA therapy.
I believe that. I would believe that. He seems like somebody who would do that.
I want to shoot him a message because I think it is now legal to do that in California.
Really?
Yeah, you can do it with a therapist, and I've heard it's like really, really amazing.
Wow. He'd be
Yeah.
a great guest. That'd be really cool.
I would love to have Huberman on. I don't know if he would do
Yeah.
my little show, but you know.
You never know. You never know. It's not a little show.
it's
It's a
exactly.
big show.
But yeah, also I'm trying to spread the word about these like alternative healing potentials. And
Yeah,
yeah, I have
you're into that. You're a fan of that.
I'm a fan of it all.
I
Yeah.
know.
I'm a fan of it all.
I know. I want to know more about it. I mean, I want to try some of the we've talked about this in the past, but some of that stuff, but we're going to come out to LA sometime this after the new year probably.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, Mark would like to meet everyone. You know, he's talked to Brandon a million times, and so he's like, I got to meet these people. So I think we're gonna come out at some point, so we'll have to get together, and I want to know more about that. I'd be interested to try some of that, some of those natural healing things.
Yeah, well, I don't know how natural MDMA is, but we can arrange some therapeutic sessions of some kind.
It's true. Good.
Yeah. I even want to start sharing breath work with people on here.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
didn't you just take a big trip? You were gone, right? I mean,
I
I
was
feel
in
like.
Brazil for pretty much like all of April.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I was in the rainforest for like 10 days of that, spending time with the indigenous people and learning about their spirituality and their traditions. And yeah, it was very,
Eye-opening.
very healing, very heart-opening, eye-opening. Yeah, I recommend it. It's not easy to take a whole month out of your life.
That's true.
But I think there's a lot of benefits to the natural medicines that those tribes have been working with for thousands of years. For the audience, if you don't know what we're talking about ayahuasca. And yeah, it's super powerful. But I've found great relief from years of anxiety. And there's veterans retreats as well, where you can go to places where it's legal and you can try ayahuasca and do it in a safe way with shamans and teachers. And yeah, for anyone listening out there, definitely I recommend it. And it's certainly a
Well,
way.
and you could share a lot of information with anybody who's interested, right? Like contact Jeff. You probably know. Like you went by yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I had a few friends that we kind of met, like we got to Brazil and then met up there and then
Got
went
it.
into the jungle together. So I had a little camping group of probably like about eight people that I knew from the States.
Okay.
And
Nice.
yeah, we went down there, we hung out with the indigenous tribes, we drank the medicine, we got the healing. If anyone's curious about it or wants to hear more, you know, definitely put a message in the comments and I would love to share. It's all about healing
Yeah.
these days. The world is a fucking crazy place. Honestly, I try to avoid watching the news.
Me too.
It's just too much.
It's way too much. And the doing a true crime podcast is enough like darkness for me.
I will though, like from time to time, I'll throw on like a Netflix documentary about, you know, like a fucked up murder or something.
For sure. That I can handle, like a Dateline or a Netflix documentary and the podcast. Like I like telling stories. These are darker stories, but fine. But the news is too
See, I'm intrigued.
depressing.
I'm really interested in like psychology and like why do people do what they do. So sometimes when I watch those documentaries, I just like to kind of observe people's minds and try to think about like what the fuck was going on there. Man, I wish that guy drank ayahuasca.
Yeah, it's that is a dark road to go down trying to get inside the minds of some of these people, because
speaking of like getting into people's minds, and while we're on the topic of ayahuasca, someone in my camping group when we went to South America told me that there's, and by the way, it's completely legal in South America, so no laws were broken, and it was very important to me to go to South America. One, to do it with the people who have been doing this for thousands of years, but two, you know, I'm not into breaking any laws or anything like that. Everything is above board for me.
Good disclaimer there.
So it's interesting because down in South America, ayahuasca is completely legal, but like cannabis is illegal.
Really?
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That seems backwards to me, but maybe not, because I've never done ayahuasca. So
maybe one day you will. Maybe we'll plan a trip to South America.
Maybe one day. You know who would like to go on that trip? Oliver. Talking about ayahuasca, it immediately makes me think of him and Joe talking, and Joe was saying, Oliver was talking about mushrooms, and Joe was like, well, maybe one day I'll do ayahuasca. And Oliver was like, did you say ayahuasca? And Joe's like, well, yeah, what, isn't that what it is? He's like, and Oliver's just dying. He's like, no, it's ayahuasca. And Joe's like, wow, I'm learning so much right now.
These are the daddy issues guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Daddy issues guys, Oliver Hudson and Joe Buck, which is, they are on a extra long hiatus from the podcast, which is sad because I loved that podcast and a lot of people did. It was a pretty popular podcast. We had a good audience. So hopefully I can convince them to bring it back, but we'll see.
And they like healing with mushrooms?
Oliver definitely does. Joe, no way.
You know, I don't know. I think it's becoming legal in California.
That makes sense to me. That would make sense. And Oliver would be very excited.
And he's found a lot of benefits from that?
Yeah, he enjoys it. His dream would be, like, when we were doing the podcast a lot, he would always say his dream was, like, to get, we take, like, a daddy issues retreat into the desert and just all do mushrooms together. And Joe was like, no fucking way. Never going to happen.
So, you know, what I was going to say about it is legal in South America. And I was talking about how I'm really interested in psychology and like the psychology of criminals and why do people do what they do. On a side note, someone in our camping group, when we went to South America, told me that it is common in some of the prisons for the guards and the prisoners to drink ayahuasca together.
What? Wait, in South America?
Yes.
Okay.
And they said in those prisons, it's like, there's not a lot of
very
violence.
Kumbaya. Yeah,
it's very kumbaya down there. So maybe we could learn a few things up here.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I would be very interested to do it. It does seem scary to me. And it's not even like the physical, the vomiting part. I don't care about that. Just, I don't know. I've done mushrooms and it was fine. I had a lovely time, but I mean, it was years ago, but I don't love not being able to know where my mind's going to go, like having no control, which, I mean, some could argue that we don't have too much control over our mind when we're drinking or smoking pot or even in just sober moments. But I don't know. It scares me a little bit. Like, what if I went down a real bad path? I know that that doesn't typically happen, does it?
Well, they say that luckily this ride always comes with a ticket back, so no matter how far out you go, you always come back.
That's a really good line. I like that.
Yeah, but that's, I will, true. Say it is not necessarily a walk in the park. It's not smoking a joint and watching Netflix on your couch, for sure.
And sometimes I get paranoid just doing that. Like, I enjoy that, and then all of a sudden I'm like, nope, too much, smoke too much, feeling paranoid. So I don't know if I could handle it, but I'm open to trying anything pretty much once. So maybe. And I have heard that after you do that, I don't know if it's just once or if it's multiple times, it does have a lasting effect on your like psyche and every part of you, really. Is that what you found?
I found like such a dissipation and release from really like years of anxiety.
Like ongoing, though. It's not just like for a couple weeks and then you have to do it again to maintain it.
No, like exactly. Like,
okay.
Some people are doing it often, but for me and for a lot of the people that I went with, one time and it's like it feels like a permanent relief. I mean, I just went in April, so only a few months ago, but
yeah,
I'm like telling my therapist, I'm like, I don't even think I really need therapy anymore. Like I'm good.
That's huge. And I have heard that, not from people. I don't know anybody who's done it, but I've read, my sister's a therapist and she has looked into a lot of the, therapy guided, like where you, not MDMA, but where you can take mushrooms, I believe.
Yep.
Like in a controlled therapy office. And she's thought about like getting certified to do that because she's, everything that she knows about it, it's very effective. So.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, for a different podcast I produced, we interviewed some Johns Hopkins doctors from Baltimore, and they were doing administered one-on-one therapy and administering mushrooms to the patient. And some of those stories were just so fucking beautiful, where people just get such a relief from mainly it seems like depression and anxiety, but also PTSD and even palliative care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. End of life care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's really special. I hope that it starts to spread more into the world.
Yeah.
We need healing.
Yeah, definitely. More healing and like natural would be better. Less pharmaceutical companies and
yeah, fuck pills.
Yeah. I think you should call this episode fuck pills.
Fuck pills. I remember they used to give my brother when we were kids, they used to give him Adderall.
Oh yeah.
And also they used to give him Ritalin, which is basically fucking meth.
Yep.
And he was like a zombie. And luckily they took him off of it. And see, he was the older brother, so I never had to take it because they saw how much it fucked with him. And they're like, we're not going to give this to the other kid.
That's good. That's lucky for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I do believe that I believe there are certain ailments and diseases and even mental illnesses and everything there are some people and some illnesses that require pharmaceutical medication, and that's helpful, of course, but
good point.
I think there's a tendency to over medicate in this country with pills rather than natural solutions.
Thank you for saying that, because I appreciate you bringing that up, because I don't mean to knock anyone who truly does need some type of pharmaceutical. And if they're getting relief and benefits from that, then I 100% support that. But I think you said it very well. I think it's overprescribed.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we all need to look at.
Yeah.
You know what? Some therapy that I started doing with my personal therapist, this is outside of like the mushrooms, mushrooms, no MDMA. You should ask your sister if she knows about IFS.
Okay. IFS.
It's internal family systems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know if I'm going to explain this right, but the audience should look it up. IFS, internal family systems. It's really pushed by a doctor named Marty Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
And I describe it as a shamanic journey without the medicines.
Oh.
Basically, like you're guided to go like within yourself and communicate with the other pieces of yourself that you've been maybe repressing or that need help from you. Like I always used to say to my therapist, like I'd be like, you know, a part of me feels like this, or a part of me feels like that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And you actually go internally and communicate with those parts of yourself.
Is it like guided? I don't want to say meditation, but does the therapist like guide you through that kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yep. Cool. Yeah. Tell me again.
IFS. It's internal IFS. Family systems.
I have to put that in my notes. IFS.
Yeah. I strongly recommend that. And another thing that's been super benefit, IFS is new to me. So like, hopefully I explained that. Okay. I'm pretty new to it, but I do recommend it. Something that I've done for a long time is EMDR.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Is that with the lights or is that something different?
I think you can do it with lights.
Like the little blinking lights that you follow.
Yeah, and you look like from side to side while you're talking about your shit. So I do it with something called a TheraTapper, which is like I put one in each pocket and it alternates a sensation of vibration from one side to the other.
Hmm.
And this was actually invented, I believe, in the 80s, but it was for Vietnam veterans. It was originally invented for them, but they've expanded it out to pretty much if you have anxiety, PTSD, or even depression, EMDR is something that I strongly recommend.
I don't know if you know this, but like, what's the benefit of that, of having this, either following the lights or having this sensation? Is it like, what does that do while you're talking about?
Okay, so, disclaimer, I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to explain it as best I can. And I've done a lot of sessions with my therapist doing it. The idea is when you're like in your sort of stress mode or anxiety mode, you're in the side of your brain that's like emotional and childlike. And by stimulating side to side, it balances you back into the other side of the brain, which is like more logical, rational, and like more adult-like.
Oh.
And so you kind of balance the brain hemispheres while you're recalling whatever your stuff is that you're working on.
Okay. You explained that really well. That makes sense.
Yeah. So EMDR and IFS, I strongly recommend, and they don't require any mushrooms or ayahuasca or anything like that.
That's good. You've now given people kind of like the spectrum of holistic options or just therapy options for dealing with.
Yeah. For those who have made it this far in the podcast, we drop a comment if you want to hear more about breath work or EMDR or IFS or ayahuasca.
Wait, don't you have a big military listenership here?
Yeah.
I feel like that would, I would imagine, I'm not a military person, but I can only imagine that that a lot of this would be useful for people.
I'm just trying to spread the word and let people know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm here to help as best as I can.
I like it. That's good. Yeah. Nice.
So this is such a fun conversation, but I do have a hypothetical survival scenario for you.
Okay.
Are you down for
the
Can You Survive This Podcast hypothetical survival scenario?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's do this. Let me bring up my little notes here.
Oh, I'm excited.
Okay. So you are out of the country. And you've been out partying at night. You're drinking, you're partying, you're having a blast. Next thing you know, you wake up in a cold, dark room with no memory of how you got there.
This is my worst nightmare.
You hear footsteps outside the door. Do you A, stay quiet and wait for the kidnapper to leave? Or B, yell for help?
I would stay quiet. I would stay quiet and wait for the kidnapper to leave.
A is correct.
Okay.
You're going to stay quiet and just kind of assess the situation before you start panicking and drawing attention to yourself.
I mean, I'm panicking and already, like, I am definitely panicking, but I'm trying to keep it together, I guess, at that point, probably.
Exactly. Ugh. All right. Next question.
Okay.
You hear the sounds of what sounds like the kidnapper leaving the house. He has not noticed you. You have a chance to look around and see if there's anything you can use to help you escape. Do you A, look for a weapon, or B, search for a way out?
I know I have to pick one, but I would immediately search for a weapon and then search for a way out so that if he came back, I could fight him off. But like, you want a way out, essentially. Like, what am I going to search for a weapon and then go back into the cold, dark room, you know, and wait for him to come? I feel like.
All right, you're back.
Okay, good.
Okay, so we had a brief technical difficulty, but I think you were on the right track with look for a weapon and then search for a way out.
Yes, that's my final answer.
Yeah. So A, look for a weapon. That's correct.
Okay.
Just like you said, you will look for a way out, but it will be nice to be able to fight him if you need to.
Exactly. Yes.
And okay, we learned surviving. From the toy box killer.
Weapon is important.
You got to fight.
Yes, that's right.
You're not going out without a fight.
Okay.
So far you got two correct.
Okay.
All right. Next question. You find a sharp, broken bottle that you can use as a weapon, but you're not sure what to do next. Do you A, wait for the kidnapper to return and then confront them, or B, keep the weapon with you and search for a way out?
B, keep the weapon with me and search for a way out. B, for correct. Sure.
Yes. And we kind of already covered that on the last question.
Yes.
But we're moving right along. We're moving through this hypothetical kidnapping adventure.
Okay. This is very timely too, because I am going out of the country in a day. So let's hope that this doesn't happen. But just in case it does, I'll be prepared.
Exactly.
Okay.
We're staying alert. We're staying ready at all times.
Yes.
So you search the room and you find a small window that you might be able to fit through. Do you A, escape through the window, or B, prepare to fight the kidnapper when he comes back?
Definitely at least try to escape through the window.
Correct.
A. Okay. Yes, for sure. Get me out of here.
Yeah. So you try to escape through the window, but you can't get it open far enough.
Oh, no.
Do you A, break the window, or B, search for another way out?
I break the window. I want to say, like, well, if I break the window, is it going to be big enough? Can I tell that it'll be big enough for me to get out? But I know that that's too many questions. So I'm just going to say, I'm just going to break the hell out of that window.
A is correct. You are you're getting out of there by any means necessary.
Yes.
And you know, if there's broken glass, maybe you can find like a towel or a bed sheet or something and try to cover that.
Yeah.
So you don't injure yourself, but you're also getting the fuck out.
At that point, like, injure myself, I don't care. I'm getting out. Like, if like some glass stuck in my knees or hands is nothing compared to a dude who just kidnapped me and put me in a cold room.
Yeah, he could be, who knows? He could be, I mean,
that's right.
You host Death by Southwest, you know?
That's right. There's a lot of weird people out there.
It could get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So far you are on a roll. Everything correct so far.
Okay.
You break the window, but it sets off an alarm. And now the kidnapper returns before you can escape.
No.
Do you A, fight back, or B, try to reason with the kidnapper?
Definitely. Ooh. I fight back.
A is correct.
Okay, good.
We're going with fight. We're going with fight this motherfucker.
I mean, this person is a kidnapper. There may be no reasoning with this person.
Exactly.
Know?
Exactly. We're going to start. We're going to take the fight to him.
Yes.
So you fight back, but he begins to overpower you. Do you A, keep fighting, or B, save your energy and try to reason with him?
I'm going to keep fighting. I mean, I just don't, like, in the midst of a fight, what am I going to be like, okay, hold on, let's have a conversation here. And
A
also,
is correct.
Okay, good.
You got it. You got it. You're not giving
up. Fighting. No.
Yeah. You're not giving up. You keep fighting and the kidnapper retreats. Good job.
Oh.
You have a chance to escape.
Okay.
Do you A, follow the kidnapper and keep beating him, or B, escape while you can?
Escape while I can, for sure. I mean, probably a part of me would want to keep following him and just kicking the shit out of him, but like, get me out of here. I'm escaping.
B, correct. You're escaping. You got the opening and now you're going to take it.
Yes. Awesome.
So now you're out of the house. You are running, but you run into a dead end and you become cornered by the kidnapper.
Oh.
You notice that you have cut him pretty good and he's leaking a lot of blood.
Okay.
So do you A, keep the fight going, increasing his heart rate and loss of blood, or B, try to reason with him and wait for him to bleed out?
I'm going to keep fighting for sure. There's no reasoning with a psychopath.
Correct. A, okay. He's already bleeding. And if you keep fighting him, it's going to increase his heart rate. He's going to lose more blood. And he actually peters out and collapses. And you escape and you have survived this podcast.
Yes. Go me. That's very encouraging because, like I said, I'm going to be in another country and I'm definitely going to be drinking and partying. So if somebody kidnaps me, now I know. Fight, find a weapon and fight is, I think, like the moral of that story, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Fight for your life. There's no negotiating with a crazy person. Also, you're going to be with Mark, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And if I don't know what kind of phone you have, but you could probably share your location with each other.
That's what I said the other day. I was like, I feel like we need to make sure that we're, you know, because I don't do that. I don't do the like family, friends, or find my friends or whatever.
You know, I think don't leave it on all the time.
Weird.
That's just too weird. That's
weird.
That's too straining on your relationship. But like,
never,
I think you can
never.
Set it to like, you know, for just one night or something.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said just while we're there, like literally just while we're there, and then turn it off, delete it. I don't even know if it's an app or you can just do it. I think it's people with kids, okay, but like anybody else, I just cannot imagine. I don't want to know where he is all the time. That's weird.
Yeah.
But there, I feel like it would be useful. And I said that, and he said, we're going to be together. Like, why would we're going to be together. We don't need that. I know. I was like, but what if we get separated? You never know. You can't be too careful. Yeah. But I feel like now I'm
prepared. Turn it back off after the vacation is over. We're not leaving that on. That's just too weird.
No.
We need our space, you know?
I think it's super. I have had friends who do that with their significant others or husbands. And look, if you have like teenagers, I kind of understand that, I guess, or like 10-year-old kids who are going out playing in the neighborhood. But like with your partner, that just feels like too much of an invasion of privacy.
It's too much of an invasion. It's creepy. It's weird.
I agree. No,
just
thanks.
Be with each other like regular humans.
Right. Pre-phone humans is how we should remain together.
Exactly. It's much healthier that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this was a good scenario. This was very timely with this Belize trip. And hopefully I don't encounter any kidnappers. And hopefully Mark doesn't get bit by a shark. But it'll make a damn good story if he does when we come back and he can come on the podcast.
Definitely. I want Mark on. I'm hyped to talk about him, or to talk to him rather. By the way, another thing for the listeners going on vacation, just a tip, maybe don't post in real time. Maybe delay your posting so people don't know where, you know, maybe you're back already and when you post, that kind of
thing. My sister's rule all the time. And I have totally, my sister's really good about not sharing too much about herself, her personal life, everything on the podcast. I'm the complete opposite. I like overshare and say everything I'm doing and everywhere I'm going. So I've already screwed that up. Like, people know that I'm leaving. However, I have a big dog. I mean, like, the only concern with knowing that I'm out of town in real time would be coming to my house and breaking in, right? And my dog will be here.
You got a big dog.
Yeah, I have a big, like, nobody's coming to break into my house. So I do agree. I don't think that it's my sister's. Whenever she goes out of town, she's like, I don't say that ever on my social media until I'm already home that I was out of town, which I do think is smart. Yeah. She actually told me she would come on here as well. I feel like you guys might. She hasn't died or had, like, just, she doesn't have any great survival stories, but with her,
the therapy,
I feel like you guys would have a lot. And she is a huge fan of, oh, I'm not going to remember his name now, but he's like the mushroom man. Like, and he has all these hats made out of mushrooms.
Yes.
And I can't think of his name, but she has one of his, like, mushroom hats. She's a huge fan.
Does she like mushrooms?
She.
I don't know if we can say for legal reasons. Is it legal in Arizona yet?
I don't think it is, but she's not. I mean, like, she doesn't use mushrooms. My dad actually, he took mushroom, not like psychedelic mushrooms, but he had lung cancer 2.5 years ago, and he attributes getting past it. And he's in remission, cancer-free. He did no chemo, no radiation, and he attributes it entirely to the Paul Stamets.
Yes.
And so he put mushroom powder in everything he ate, like lion's mane and a couple other mushroom, like a blend. He put it in his coffee and his smoothies over his chicken. I mean, he put it in everything, and he really, he's not that guy. He's like not the, he calls it like woo woo. Like, no, my mom used to smoke pot and stuff. Like, that's not him. And he fully believes that saved his life. So she's interested in it in that sense, I think, just the benefits of it. Yeah. She doesn't technically use them for herself, but she's a big fan. So amazing. You guys would have a lot to talk about, I think. So I'll have to connect you with her and Mark and get them both on.
Is she going to Belize?
No, she's actually taking my puppy. She's still a puppy. I can't remember we haven't talked in forever. So I don't know even if, so my bulldog died. I had to put to sleep. Yeah,
I loved her so much.
Me too. It was.
I'm sorry.
Very hard. I still cry when I talk about it. But we found a puppy a couple months before we had to put her to sleep. We found this puppy that was just behind Mark's house, and she was like this big. She was like so tiny, and we couldn't find her owners. We tried. She wasn't microchipped. We put up flyers. I posted everywhere. We couldn't find her owners, so we kept her. Now we have her. So Jenna, my sister, is taking Indiana is her name, the puppy, while we're gone.
Amazing.
So she's not going to Belize. She's been to Costa Rica a couple times though, and she loves it. That's her favorite place. That's how we got on Belize, because we were going to do Costa Rica, and it just looked so big and overwhelming that we started looking at other places in Central America. And Belize looked smaller and beautiful. So we'll see.
Side note, Indiana is a fucking great name for a dog.
Mark will be very pleased to hear that, because he named her and all of us were against it. He's a huge fan of Indiana Jones. And he was like, because I was like, people are going to think it's because you're from Indiana or something. And he's like, no, it's Indiana Jones. So yeah, he picked that name. So
does he call her Indy?
We tried to, but it just didn't, you know, sometimes like, it just doesn't happen naturally. Like Indy, I think would be great. It's so cute. It would work great. It's just Indiana. It's kind of like my brother-in-law, his name is Michael, and he hates being called Mike. And when somebody says Mike, calls him Mike, I don't even recognize that's like, it's Michael. I don't know. sometimes names just the Indiana, full version.
You could argue that Indiana is a lot of syllables for a dog name.
That's what my dad said. He's like, it's too long. She's never going to learn her name.
But I like it. I think it's good.
Thanks. She actually knows her name very well. She took her a minute, but it wasn't too many syllables. She is very responsive to her name. So there you go. My
dad
sounds
like a good girl.
Yeah, she's sweet.
So, okay, as we wrap up, is there anything people should know? Where can they find you? Death by Southwest is the podcast. Where can they find it?
Everywhere. It is on, we're on, any Apple, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts. We're on every social media, Instagram, TikTok.
What's your IG handle?
It's Death, the letter X, and then Southwest, all spelled out. So, because it's Death by Southwest. And I think sometimes people think it's like BY, but it's a play on South by Southwest, the film festival.
I was going to say, and it's like the Hitchcock movie.
Yes. So it's Death and then X Southwest. And that's all social media handles and everything. If you search that on any podcast player, you will find us.
There you go. That's where you find her, people. And thanks for coming on, and bye-bye.
Thanks, Jeff. This was fun. Bye.